Welcome to the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring together tech leaders from all around the globe to share their time, their insights, and their expertise with us and show us how to grow businesses within the tech industry, how to stand out, what's coming down the turnpike, and more importantly, what you can do to help grow your company in tech as well. My name is Gary Lafter, your host and CEO of the Growth Focus Partnerships, where we turn experts within the tech field into authorities so their conversations turn into clients and their expertise turn into insights. I can't wait to get started on this particular episode. So without further ado, Mackenzie, welcome. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Why don't you start off by introducing yourself? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Awesome. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me. It's been great getting to know you over the past few weeks. I'm excited for today. So I'm Mackenzie Ostrom. I'm the VP of Client Services at a small software consultancy based in Des Moines, Iowa, called Shift Interactive. We've been around for 14 years. It'll be 14 years this December. And we primarily focus on custom software builds, which can be very broad. So it can be anything from that upfront UI UX voice to customer strategy to more of that machine learning, AI side of things, maybe some of that AI consulting, figuring out where you can use it in your business. And then also all the way to full development builds. So major web application builds, mobile applications as well. So I've been with the company, it'll be 9 years this summer. So been through a lot of growth, a lot of changes over my course here, but I manage the marketing and sales side of what we do.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, I can't wait to dive into a little bit more into what is it that you do, what's working and whatnot. But as per usual, we'd like to know a little bit more about you, Mackenzie. So why don't we start at your journey? What first sparked your interest in marketing and in tech?
Yeah. So I grew up in Eastern Iowa. And so I was lucky to see my parents go through different changes in their lives as well, whether it be personally, professionally, and a major change that ignited some of that entrepreneur spirit in me, I would say, is my dad lost his job when I was in sixth grade. So primary breadwinner, scary time for all of us. But he had been working in IT for 20 years, and he was able to pivot after that and go into commercial real estate. He was fortunate enough to be able to do that with his family. And seeing him make the brave step of going out on his own has definitely influenced my whole trajectory of my career. Starting out, I wasn't that brave, obviously. I'm a college kid, and what am I going to do with my life? So I went to school for marketing. Because it was general and I could do something with it. Hopefully I could figure out what I wanted to do after that. So I went to University of Northern Iowa. With that experience, I made some connections, and a professor had a connection in Chicago at a major advertising agency there. So I landed myself in Chicago for a while, which was always my dream to work there at least for a little bit. I love that city. I still love that city. But what I quickly found out was I wasn't passionate about advertising, which is nothing against people that do advertising. It's a very important job. I'm still doing some of that as part of my role today, but serving ads to people that didn't necessarily want to see them was hard for me to be passionate about, hard for me to get behind. Eventually wanted to move closer to home. So I moved to Des Moines and still continued in advertising, but I worked for a small firm that also did marketing websites. And so I got interested in technology that way. I was QAing those sites, helping with content and that kind of thing, and then trying to figure it out on my own. How does this work? How can I build a site myself? And from that experience, one of my counterparts there, he moved over to Shift as a project manager. A year later, he hired me on. So he's still working there today. We've been working together for like 12 years now, which is an eternity, but he trusted me to figure out the project management side of things. I was doing that loosely in my job, but not really, not to this extent. It was a lot of learning on the fly, pairing with developers that would let me pair with them just to figure out what are they doing? How can I explain this to the client? I really wanted to know how they did everything they did so that I could explain it better. And then eventually in my role today, sell it. And so I tried to do some coding on myself or by myself. I tried to jump in to do content updates when I could, just so I could kind of learn the framework and the code base that they were working with. And we started as Shift started as an extension of a marketing agency about 14 years ago, like I said. And we were making those traditional marketing websites, those brochure sites, some touchscreen collateral for trade shows. So an extension of marketing services. And through the growth of Shift and the different people that we hired, we started getting more in the software space and more interested in all of that. And frankly, that was something that I was way more interested in too, looking at my role in advertising to my role in software project management. I was just way more passionate in talking to real clients, customers, real users, figuring out what do they actually want and building it for them and seeing how much of an impact that can make to an organization and to their users was a really cool experience. And so over the course of our time, about 3 years ago, we separated from that marketing agency. It just made less and less sense to be together. And so now we have the unique opportunity that we're kind of back in startup mode, startup with clients that we've had for 14 years, but it's really changed my perspective on how do we market ourselves? How do we position ourselves? How do we really start to grow now that we're on our own?
That's always going to be one of those new learning curves, isn't it? Because when we shift from being in one place and now being in a startup, things completely different challenges all the time. So let's talk about that. You know, you mentioned you've gone back into startup mode now. How has that changed your approach to growth and to what you actually do?
Yeah, we have to be a lot more, I don't know what the right word would be, quick and quick to deliver, a little scrappy, I guess, just because so when we were part of that marketing agency, we did have the marketing arm to help actually market our business too. And now that's all falling within our walls. So we have to be really scrappy, but honestly, it's helped to really figure out what is the best way to position ourselves. So one of the things that we've been doing is really dialing in our services. So I said this at the beginning, but a software consultancy, kind of a dime a dozen. There's a lot of them out there. We're never going to compete with the Accentures of the world. We're a small firm based in Iowa. We have presence in Chicago and all over the country, but we're still a lot smaller than Accenture. And so figuring out what are those services that we actually do that we can target to specific people has really helped. And utilizing AI to do that. We're a small team. So I have my sales AI agent working for me and my marketing AI agent working for me as well, because I don't have time in the day to be doing all of that. And you know, it makes us a lot more efficient.
No, absolutely. And as you said, it's such a competitive market out there. Software consultancies, middle, large or small, you know, they're all out there. And this is what makes it even more difficult, doesn't it? Because no one really understands the size of the actual company, because everyone's kind of competing to a degree out at the same kind of level, or at least trying to say exactly the same thing. So I appreciate you're using AI in your, you know, AI agents for both marketing and sales. But before we even get to the sales part, we need someone to stick their hand up and say, yes, Mackenzie, I'd like to talk to you. And it's out and above the noise. Otherwise, you're just the best kept secret, right? So can you give us some insights into what's actually working for you guys now to rise above that noise, to get your message heard? What kind of stuff is working? What are you doing so that you actually do stand a great chance of having a good conversation with somebody?
Yeah, I think the first step is really getting to know your business and know who your business is and how you're going to position that. So, which obviously, duh, Mackenzie, but there's so many salespeople that go out and don't really know what they're selling, you know, or have the general idea of we do UX and we do a mobile development, but can't really say why or what their differentiator is. And so we use a EOS operating system, the entrepreneurial operating system and Traction to run our business. And
that.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Right, I see
there.
It.
Absolutely.
It's perfect. Not a sponsor. But so that has really helped us to, this is what Shift is today. These are our values. This is how we want to run the company. We're very human-centered, both in our software development and our internally, the way we run our business. But it also helps to set that 3-year, 10-year picture, figure out where do we want to go? What size do we want to be? And then backtrack to how we get there. And that's the larger picture of it all. But then in each of those, looking at our marketing strategy, who is our ideal client? How are we going to reach them? What is going to be attractive to them? And how are we targeting them? How are we positioning our services? What services are we selling to them? Some of that work that we've done with really targeting our services and dialing those down a little bit has really helped to be able to position ourselves and go after the people that we want to, and with a message that resonates with them. The other thing is knowing who you are going to say no to, you know, and being able to say no, because there's a lot of, we've made these mistakes for sure with bringing in clients that we should have said no to. We knew they didn't align with who we were as a company, our services that we had, but sometimes you get desperate and you're like, oh, we'll bring you in, we can do this, or it's a friend and you want to help them out, whatever it is. But being firm on that no, and also as a leadership team, as a company, being able to hold each other accountable to do that.
No, and I think that's you've mentioned so many great insights there, actually, Mackenzie. So, you know, I want to just dial it back a little bit and just kind of break some of that down, really, because without doubt, there's going to be viewers and listeners to this episode. And when you were talking about, let's start with this one. When you talk about being able to say no, you're going to have listeners and viewers who are going to be nodding their head and go, absolutely, that is the absolute key thing we should do. We know our swim lane. We're going to run down our swim lane. And the whole point about marketing isn't just about attracting the right ones. It's about repelling the wrong ones, you know, getting rid of those that you do not want. But you say you've got to know what your swim lane is. But it is quite scary to do so until you absolutely know what your message is and the value you're delivering to that marketplace. It does become a lot more scary in order to say no, because you're just as confused as they are. So, you know, that going back then to your point, that the emphasis on the importance of knowing your swim lane and the offer that you do, because especially in tech, especially when you're in a crowded, oversaturated, noisy market like you are, there's a tendency to say, okay, let's just grab what we get. Let's just grab it and then we'll run from there. But there holds that challenge. So let's talk about strategies that are working for you. Like you said, now let's say you've got your message down, you know who your ICP is, you know who you're going to say no to. What is working for you right now in the lead generation space?
Yeah, we're doing a lot on LinkedIn and Sales Navigator. What I am finding more and more is it's so noisy, whether it's email or social media or however you're being reached, it's noisy. I know you probably get 20 messages a day of people that can help you out. And it's very rare that you answer one of those. And so what I'm finding more is organic is best. And so making sure that our leadership team, as well as the rest of our shift team, if they feel compelled to do so, is posting on their LinkedIn, and not just about shift, making it organic to them, authentic to them. That's something that we really value at a shift as well. And so I'm posting about, I'm going to Disneyland on Thursday. I'm sure I will post about, like, it's important to have time off. You know, it's not all business and all go, go, go. And then I'm also took some of my kids' drawings and made them, used AI and made them into digital characters, which was fun. It's just a different perspective on how you can use AI for your personal life. But then I also post about things that I'm really passionate about. I'm really passionate about mentoring women in tech. I've been a mentor for a few groups to make sure that we're bringing up that next generation of women in tech and that they feel that they can do that. And then also I run a Girls Who Code group too as well. So people want to get to know you. People, especially the service that we're offering, they're making a huge investment and going to be spending a lot of time with us because they're long engagements. They're year long plus. And so they want to know who you are, who they're going to be working with, and that authentic side of you to make sure that they trust you. So there's the organic side of things, making sure that we're all posting, and then also the sales side of things. I've been doing in Sales Navigator recently is we offer a code audit service. So there's a lot of, we've had private equity groups or VC groups come to us and they are buying a product. They don't know what they have. They don't know what they're getting into, and they want us to audit it, maybe audit the team and make sure that what they're buying is what the people are saying that they have. And so looking at people on Sales Navigator, because they have so much data in that tool on who just received funding, who is looking for funding, who's like at that right size that they're going to be going to get private equity money here soon, and then reaching out to them or reaching out to private equity groups to see if they have a portfolio of places that need code audits or team audits, that kind of thing. The other thing that we have found success with is kind of a hub and spoke model. So looking at where are those hubs that many of your clients go to, if that makes sense? So like for us, it'd be IT consultants. We don't do like the IT network side of things. And they have a lot of clients coming to them for IT services. And then those clients need software services as well. So talking to them, making those connections and being the person that they refer people to and partner with, that way you're talking to one person that could get you five clients rather than talking individually to each of those five clients is just not efficient and makes better use of your time.
Yeah. Well, again, got some great insights there, Mackenzie. And I want to just sort of double down on some of those things, really, because it's really important. Because again, when you look at LinkedIn, LinkedIn has changed over the years. We've all seen it.
Yeah. It's noisy.
It's not the LinkedIn as it was 2-3 years ago. It's completely changed. There's a lot of immediate pitches in there that's coming through, even on the post itself. And but one thing you mentioned, which we don't see enough of, and I truly believe that, especially in our field, within our industry, that people think it's below them, is sharing yourself. Yeah, they people right. think that LinkedIn is not for, it's for sharing for business and not your personal life, and that's left for, let's say, Facebook or Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you wholeheartedly that especially, and it's not the fact that because you're in a long-term relationship with your clients, whether it's a short-term relationship with your clients, mm-hmm. they still want to know who you are. We're in a relationship-based industry. If you wait too long, well, I think the simplest way to say this is probably those who share themselves first have already got an advantage over those who don't. Because as long as you're doing, you know, we work very heavily with our clients on making sure that we're sharing them as well, top of funnel stuff, on awareness of who they are, what their mission is, et cetera, and sharing them as a person before the business person. And because if I'm going into a relationship, I want to know what that person's going to be like. So that's a really, really good point. And I'm glad you mentioned it because I don't think it's done enough out there. Mm-hmm. It's all too prim and proper and trying to pitch their products and services miles too early in these posts now. So change related. So it's almost gone from one extreme to another now, but in a good way. I also want to pinpoint one of the things you said there was about using Sales Navigator. And I'm not sponsored by LinkedIn or anything. It's just that, you know, this is about growth. And if you're not using LinkedIn, there's plenty of people listening to this that use LinkedIn, but I know they're not using it to the best of its ability. And like you said, there's so much data out there in LinkedIn that you can just go and get. And that goes back down to what you said earlier, wasn't it? Knowing who your ICP is, knowing what their problem is, knowing how you can solve what it is, because then you know what to input. But it's like everything else, bad data in, bad data out, isn't it? The more you can put into it. And we tend to gloss over that. You know, in almost every other conversation I have with people, we talked about LinkedIn. It's, LinkedIn. And it's just a nod and a wink and go, we're doing it. But that's almost like you're only using 10% of what you could be using it when it comes to growth. Right. You know, so it's such a powerful tool. So that being said, Mackenzie, you're having some great, great advances and great results from that outreach, especially in a noisy marketplace. I love the fact you're building more relationships rather than doing the onesie-twosie stuff, you know, and you're building out partnerships out there. But let's talk about the opposite. What hasn't worked? You know, because when we come into business, when we start a business, you guys are back in startup mode again, as it were. No one's really taught marketing 101, all right? And if we do in the tech world, we kind of ignore it because we think, we're tech people first, right? We'll get around to that. And therefore, we tend to fall into, and I know people are going to be nodding to this, or I said listening to this, because they go, done that, been there. You know, I just fell into marketing and I didn't know what should I do. So I love talking about what didn't work. Can you share some insights with us with stuff that you've tried that really hasn't really worked that well?
Yeah, we've made the mistake in the past of marketing to ourselves, if that makes sense. So looking at our ICP as us instead of actually who it is. And so we've done sponsored posts on different developer forums, which is great if we're recruiting, but not if we're trying to sell our services. They're not the people that we want to be talking to, most likely. Barely, there could be director of engineering or something, a VP in those groups. But most of the time, it's just talking to ourselves in an echo chamber. So we have made that mistake. We have blasted advertising in, like, done Google ads or Google display ads with not a clear message or a clear targeting. I've done the same on LinkedIn too. If I wasn't prescriptive enough about the filtering then you have like 3,000 people that you can be individually messaging, which is not going to go well. So I've made the mistake of being too broad in my targeting for sure. Also, being involved in different groups around town that again are echo chambers or similar to us. I've recently been trying to network more outside of technology, because when you think I work for a software consultancy, I should be involved in all the tech groups in my area, which is true to a certain extent. You want visibility there, but you're only marketing to yourself that way. So going to our local Rotary, or there's different women groups in town that have people from all different industries, and not just, I've also done a lot in women in tech. And so making sure that I'm broadening that has been super helpful too. But yeah, I think we've definitely made poor advertising investments in the past that were too broad, not specific enough, not driving someone to a page that resonated with your message, you know, making sure it's clear messaging all the way through. And then also echo chamber, just talking to ourselves.
Yeah, that echo chamber is one of those things within this industry. Well, in majority of industries, to be fair, from my experience, we feel safety in numbers. And therefore, yeah, we just go in there. But it's also a chance, and what I see, and I have spoken out this publicly a lot, that trying to be the smartest person in the room. And when you're in an echo chamber and you're just kind of compete against everybody else and trying to be the cleverest person in that room, and that's the challenge when you're in an echo chamber, because everyone's trying to do that the same in the same industry. So you're not actually getting anywhere. You're
exactly.
Just trying to outdo the next person that you're talking to and come back and go, oh, that worked, did it? Well,
yeah.
Obviously, you're just ruffling feathers when you're doing this.
It's nice at some points, like to people that have similar experiences, similar pain points to vent, see if they found a way around them. It helps from a business perspective. And I definitely value those connections and that network that way. But when we're selling or marketing, not the right area.
Absolutely. And I think this, I'm a keen believer in looking outside your industry. And people who know me know that one of the ways I built my business was to look outside of an industry, look outside my industry and go, right, what's working over there that's not working here? What can we take from a different industry, bring it into this, tweak it a little bit so it works for this industry? And that's where we saw tremendous growth, because we tend to just do what everyone else is doing in our industry. All right. It wasn't until you look outside and go, wonder how they're doing that. They make it work.
Right.
Let's see if we can do it in here. So I'm looking outside of an industry is very, very cool. I want to touch on AI. You know, it's very hard to have a tech podcast and growth without talking about AI to some degree. So obviously there's a lot of buzz around AI. You're using AI agents. So let's just talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind. Can you share some insights into, because you just mentioned it earlier, I've got an AI agent on my marketing, AI agent on my sales. Could you give us a very brief what you mean by that? And how's it working for you?
Yeah, so I have a couple GPTs set up in ChatGPT that are trained on our data at Shift. And so I have, which obviously we have a larger paid version of ChatGPT. Don't go sending all your data to the free version. I'm not recommending that. Make sure that it's secure and all that. But I have my ideal client in there, my our vision traction organizer, and where we want to be, our marketing strategy, our sales strategy, some of our case studies and collateral, all of that is in there. So when I have a question of, hey, or even an ad coming up, we're running this ad in this publication, what would be the best way for me to frame this based on what our ideal customer is, and what would that language be? And that at least gives me a starting point to work off of. But also on top of that, there's different tools along with ChatGPT that can actually start to LinkedIn message some of this, or start to craft a draft of what that messaging should look like to be able to help you be more efficient. And we found a lot of, one, we're a small business, and so that helps us immensely be more efficient and make more use of our time. But we found the same goes for other businesses, whether they're small or large. We found a lot of success with the smaller orgs, because there's, I think, both small and large orgs, there's just so much unknown when it comes to AI. There's a new tool coming out every day. So you could be looking at tools and trying the new thing every single day if you wanted to. And most I feel like a lot of CEOs or IT professionals have heard of AI, but maybe don't know how they're going to implement it in their business or what is the best way to do that. So we've been running, like I said, mostly small businesses through an AI consulting session where we actually look at what are all of the processes that you run through as a business, both internally and externally. And then where's all of your data? Where are all the manual processes? Is someone creating a spreadsheet to link two tools together? Like, where is that? And figuring out where does it make the most sense to start when it comes to AI and, frankly, software development. Some of it could just be software development, making two applications talk together, you know, and building that bridge. But sometimes it is AI, and it's creating an agent to run a process that takes you a lot of time and should be done by AI instead, at least that first run through, and then you can have the human eye take a look. And so we like to say that AI should level you up. Not the take your jobs scare tactic. Should just be level you up, make you take off the manual things that you do every day so that you can be good at the good stuff, good at that relationship building part of your job, or good at making your team more effective, or whatever it is.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's making us more efficient, but it's the key thing is, and I love what you said, is people understand there's an AI element, but how do they use it more efficiently into their businesses? It's still quite a big void. You know, I was speaking to somebody who's very, very high up in the AI world a couple of months ago and asked him, you know, where do you believe AI is today in terms of the internet? And his answer was 99%. It just gave us an idea of how small AI is at the moment and how big it's actually going to get.
Right.
So, exciting times.
Yeah.
I want to talk about quickly founder-led marketing. How important, you know, now you've gone from big to small to startup again and now pushing the new boat out. How important do you believe founder-led marketing is there in thought leadership, sharing the mission and helping grow a brand, especially within the tech industry?
Super important. And you're saying more of that like leadership at the forefront of the brand, that type of thing?
Yeah, so the person in front of the brand, you know, if you think of something like Richard Branson, for example, or Sam Armour, they're in front of the brand. Even though the brand is very successful, they are still the face that everyone knows about and brings the personalization to it.
Yeah, I would say not just one face, I guess. I think a few faces is key. It goes back to that human centered focus and that authenticity side of things. It shows who people are actually going to be working with. And so making sure that we're showing not just our leadership team in marketing, but also our developers or the day-to-day people that they're going to be engaging with, and making sure that they have a voice in what we're doing marketing-wise as well. We're an organization of constant feedback. And so we ask for their insights, their feedback, their ideas. Frankly, I've gotten a ton of great marketing ideas from people that aren't in marketing, but they saw something cool that resonated with them and sent it to me. And making sure that their faces along with the founders are important. But I do think locally, it's important to have a face, so to speak, that if I'm at an event, people know that I'm the Shift person, you know, like they've met me enough times that they know I work for Shift. And same goes with my counterpart who's in Chicago. He goes to a number of events there and he's starting to build that he's Shift, you know? So I do think from a human-centered perspective, it is super important, super valuable to build that relationship and build that trust.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in the world today where trust is a very, very rare commodity, it's harder and harder to build trust today. Yeah. If we continue doing the old adage, if you continue doing what you're doing, you're still going to not be heard. You've got to do something different today. Start building that trust. And that comes from authenticity. And it comes from getting to know you as a person. So I'm really pleased you've mentioned that as well. So as your final question, moving forward, Mackenzie, what does the next 12 to 24 months look like for? What are your goals for Shift? You know, revenue wise, impact wise, where are you guys aiming for?
Yeah. So we are heavily focused on sales right now, making sure that we're in the next 2 years, we have some of those more tentpole clients is what we call them, making sure that we are continuing to engage. We've had a lot of growth from our current clients, and that's been amazing. And I'm very fortunate for that, but making sure that we're continuing to nurture that new market and new prospective clients and building that as well. And so focus on the sales side, more net new, I guess, than more building our current book of business. And then heavily focused on AI. And so one thing I failed to mention earlier was we use AI heavily for development, obviously. So all of our developers have co-pilots in their environments, their IDEs that they use. But then also we're looking at new tools that we could be using. One of them is Cursor. Cursor is pretty far advanced right now to be able to do initial prototypes. And so we've been taking flat designs from our UX designer requirements and then blopping them into Cursor to build that first prototype, which eases the conversations with our clients. They can see right away what they're going to get. We can start to have those conversations of where did we miss the mark? How do we misunderstand this requirement, whatever it is, before we're actually in development? So saves us a ton of time and headache later on in the process. And so there's, like I said, a new tool every day. Yeah, so sure. As an organization, making sure that we're vetting the next greatest tool, using it effectively, and growing with AI and helping our clients to grow with AI as well, I think will be super important as we continue on the next 12 to 18 months. So those are the things right now on the horizon for us.
Fantastic. Well, here's your last loaded question, Mackenzie. I ask all my guests this. If you had one takeaway that you would wanted somebody to take away from this interview, and one of our listeners, one of our viewers, what would that one piece of takeaway?
To really know your business, know the people you're serving, know your employees, know what kind of organization you want to run, what culture you want to have, and then also how that translates to what clients you want to bring in the door, what services you want to offer. And I feel like really knowing your why, having someone ask you a million questions and poke holes into your why and being able to answer everyone is going to help immensely when you're figuring out what your marketing and sales strategy is going forward and talking to clients and making sure that you're being authentic to yourself and to your business.
No, I love that. I think not enough people ask or even delve into the why. It's always the what, and they don't delve into the right. Why enough. And that's a brilliant place to end. And so listen, if people want to get hold of you, Mackenzie, want to potentially work with you, what's the best way they can do that?
Yeah, our website is Shift, S-H-I-F-T. DSM.com. And also you can find us on LinkedIn, Shift Interactive, or feel free to connect with me, Mackenzie Ostrom, on LinkedIn as well.
Well, as always, I'll make sure that those links are in the show notes so people can just directly get hold of you. So thank you very much, Mackenzie, for your time today and your great insights. It's been lovely having you.
Thank you so much, Gary. It was nice to be on the podcast.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, as well for joining us for another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast. And if you've picked up something from Mackenzie today that you thought was very valuable to you or an insight that you could use for the better of your company and your career, please make sure you like it and comment at the bottom so people can see what you've picked up. And potentially it's good for them too. But more importantly, we all grow by standing on the shoulders of giants. And if you found Mackenzie to be insightful for you, please share this episode for other people so that they can learn and grow as well. So until next time, keep striving, but more importantly, please be profitable. And we shall see you all soon. Bye-bye.